and welcome to another Bullet Points episode of The Emma Gunn Show. It's so good to spend this time with you. I'm going to do something I've done once before on this podcast, which is share the audio from an IGTV video that I shared on my Instagram page where I'm at Emma Gunn's. But because this is a Bullet Points episode and I always like to give you a little something extra, I wanted to share, before I share that audio, I wanted to share a little bit more about it and actually maybe add some things that I wish I had said in that particular video. So it was World Mental Health Day on Saturday, which is when the video went live, and I felt really compelled to publish something to say it's okay to get a mental health diagnosis of depression or anxiety, for example, which is the experience I can draw on. Because that is something that tells you where you are, and then you can plot a path from there to where you want to be. It's not always easy, but that's the way I tried to look at it, rather than a, hey Emma, you're a failure, which I know was my big worry about being told that there was anything wrong with my mental health before I actually got the diagnosis. In actual fact, it felt quite comforting to receive it. And in the video, I talked about the fact that when I used to work on a magazine, I used to stomp around saying, I want to do this sort of thing. I wouldn't think twice about traveling to France for the day to do a photo shoot, or stomping around London, walking into the best hotels, having meetings. And I guess the implication from that would be, well, I wasn't depressed then. But what I didn't say in that video, and what I felt was really important to say, is that the person that I couldn't recognize anymore, this person who on the outside looked successful, well, she was depressed. And the reason I had what I definitely think was a breakdown in 2016 was because I hadn't checked in with my mental health ever. And even though it might look as though life was good on the surface and that I was doing all right, I was definitely feeling all of the things I felt in 2016 when I hit rock bottom. I was just pushing them away. It's just by the time it got to 2016, they had just gained ground and they were on top of me. So I didn't want to give the impression that if you were running around, you know, living your best life, that it couldn't be going on under the surface, because it absolutely was. And that's why I do think that getting that mental health diagnosis in 2016 was so positive for me, because it allowed me to just stop pushing through and to stop ignoring it. And I was able to face it, and it was really good work, and it was work worth doing. And so I wanted to share my story because I felt it was really important to know that actually a diagnosis, or making that first call or seeing a doctor and admitting things aren't okay, isn't a sign of failure. It's actually a real strength to be able to have the courage to go and say, look, I think I need a bit of help, or I just don't think I'm really firing on all cylinders, and what do you suggest? And just speaking to someone. And if you do get fobbed off, and we all know how that feels, say, I'd really like to speak to someone else, because this is a conversation I want to have, and it doesn't feel like we're going to have that conversation in this room. So please, would you allow me to have the conversation I want in another room with someone else, please, and thank you. And so after I posted the video and turned off my phone and hid it under a cushion for several hours, when I went back and switched it on, the feedback I had was really lovely, and people saying things like, I didn't know I needed to hear this until I heard it, or a lot of people just saying thank you for being open and honest and taking the stigma out of a mental health diagnosis. And that's why I wanted to share it again on an episode of Bullet Points, because I do think we should talk about it more. And I do think that if you investigate some of the feelings that you may be having and stop pushing them away, you might actually be stronger as a result of it and come out of the other side feeling so much better and not feeling confused or worried or anxious or all of these things. And so that's why I did the video on Saturday. But I just wanted to make it clear, when I watched it back, I thought, oh, maybe you should have said that even when you were stomping around, you know, working on a magazine, you were definitely low-level depression and you were very much looking for a lot of external validation. And all of the things that you've had to work on now and don't do were very much at play, and you were doing, and they were snowballing towards where I eventually got to. I hope that makes sense. All I'm saying is, if you feel down, if your periods of feeling down occur and they are prolonged, ask somebody for help. Just say, is this normal? Is this okay? And normal's a bit of a funny word, but let's just use it as a very big umbrella term. Is this I know myself, you know yourself better than anyone else. If something feels iffy, go and talk to somebody. That's all I'm trying to say. And the other thing is that somebody commented underneath the video saying I had used the analogy of you wouldn't think twice about going and seeing a personal trainer to go and develop muscular strength. So what about going and seeing a mental health professional to develop mental strength? And they quite rightly said, strength, I think we should work towards phrasing it slightly differently. And she was absolutely right, actually. I don't want to imply that requiring mental health means that you don't have mental strength. Sometimes the people who are battling depression and anxiety are so strong and getting up. I can tell you this, when I was the worst version of myself and really depressed, the effort it took me to be a really terrible version of myself was more than it takes me today to be an all right version of myself. That's all I'm going to say about that. And so she used the words conditioning versus unconditioning, which I think I really appreciated and thought, actually, that's really good. I can really get on board with that. I really like that idea of you just need a bit of conditioning. It's not about strength. It's just about finessing these things. Anyway, I'm going to link into the audio now. It's about 12 and a half minutes. I hope you find it useful. It also contains resources, 5 books that I read throughout my recovery, I guess you'll call it. Ones I read right at the beginning, ones I read in the middle, ones I have subsequently read and think are brilliant. And of 4 of the 5 books, I was really proud when I noticed this, out of 4 of the 5 books, I've had 4 of the authors on the podcast, meaning, which made me feel really good about the fact that I was able to use their books for my own needs and then hopefully share the benefits I received from those books with you, my most excellent listeners. That's what makes me feel really good. And hopefully they were helpful to you. But they are brilliant books, and I hope that you, if you haven't already, that pick them up, whether it's for your own mental health or to understand someone else's. They are all utterly brilliant. So thank you. I'm going to link into that audio now. But as ever, thank you for listening. You know I adore you. I will see you on the next one, and I hope you enjoy. Hello, hi, and welcome. It is World Mental Health Day, and I wanted to make this video to explain to you why my diagnosis in 2016 of severe anxiety and depression was actually one of the best things that has ever happened to me. It wasn't easy, but it genuinely was a really good thing. And I'm making this video in the hope that anybody watching this who isn't feeling themselves, is feeling that something isn't correct, I'm hoping that this will encourage you to take those steps, to speak to a mental health professional or a doctor, to get towards that diagnosis. Because a mental health diagnosis, for me, my interpretation of it, the fact that I was told I had severe anxiety and depression, it didn't define me. It was as though I had been lost for a very, very long time, trying to navigate the world, but not knowing where I was, having no sense of my bearings, and just making lots of mistakes, to be honest. And what being told that I had severe anxiety and depression did was it was like the big red arrow on the map in the sprawling shopping mall that told me you are here. And then it allowed me to plot a course away from that. And that course suddenly, that route suddenly became available and visible to me, and that route involved things like speaking to a mental health professional, perhaps doing regular counselling, reading certain types of books, cutting certain people out of my life, saying no to certain things. Everything just crystallised and became clearer. And I want to share with you some other useful resources, but I also just want to put my own journey into context in case it resonates with anyone here. And I think what I just said about feeling lost, having no sense of what I was doing or whether the decisions I was making were right, is sort of hits the nail on the head. I had always, my entire life, been looking for external validation and had always put so much importance on someone's feedback, whether that was my boss or a friend, being more important than my own feelings about what I thought about my behaviour, about what I was doing or about my work. Was I happy with it? Didn't matter. Do you? That's, you know, very complicated. And you can't rely on other people to constantly make you feel good. That is an inside job. The call has to come from inside the building.
And what having a mental health diagnosis of anxiety and depression allowed me to do was to interrogate why that had happened and correct it and course correct, literally. And I was so embedded into that way of thinking, of giving other people the responsibility of making me feel good and making my decisions for me, that actually the reason I started on this journey was because somebody told me to. Because I picked up the phone to my dear friend Marcia and I just broke down. And she said, "You need help." And I remember on the call saying, "I don't remember what I used to be like." And Marcia and I worked together on a best-selling magazine, and we were both very committed to doing an incredibly good job, and we took it very, very seriously. I certainly did, and I know she did too. And I couldn't remember what that felt like to walk in and have the confidence to say, "I want it to look like this," or "I want to do this," or "I think we should do this." I felt completely broken, empty, and I had nothing. Nothing left to give. And it was only when Marcia said to me, "Listen to me really carefully, you need to speak to your doctor and you need to speak to your family." And I'm sure my family won't mind me saying this, in that I thought that I had been wearing a sign around my neck saying, "I am in distress, please help me," for quite a while. And actually, again, I'd been looking for them to tell me, "Oh, maybe you need help." I had to make that decision for myself. Don't be scared of picking up the phone, making that call, whether it's to a service like the Samaritans or to your doctor, your GP, to say, "I think I need some mental health support." You wouldn't think twice about ringing up a gym and asking to see a personal trainer to help you build physical muscle. So there is absolutely no shame in saying, "I think I need a little bit of mental strength and I need some help with it." And speaking to a counsellor or a mental health professional who is qualified and can very easily sit in front of you. It's quite disarming when you sit in front of somebody and you think, "Oh, I'm a big old mess." And they, you pour your heart out to them and they just look at you and they say, "I've got you. This is going to be okay." So that's what I wanted to encourage you to do today. It's World Mental Health Day. Let's talk about it. My life looks very different from how it looked 4 years ago, and that's no bad thing. It hasn't always been easy. Recovery and this process isn't always linear, but it's a great path to be on, so I encourage you to take those steps. And I just wanted to share with you four books that I found really valuable and I would recommend anyone to read. And not just if you are experiencing mental health, because not everybody experiences mental health issues, but if you are somebody who is close to someone who experiences mental health issues, I think these books are really valuable resources in helping you perhaps understand what your loved one, friend might be going through. So the first one is Lost Connections by Johan Hari. I saw him speak at the Ingoop Health Festival, which I was very kindly invited to last year. And he is one of the most phenomenal storytellers I've ever seen. And it translates not only into him being on stage and captivating an audience on a hot, sunny afternoon. His book is also absolutely compelling. And I read it in maybe two, maximum three sittings. And it's a really thorough, brilliant understanding of mental health. And he's very honest about his own issues. But I think it also opens up the topic in a really interesting way that is very intelligent but also very accessible. I highly recommend it to anybody who is interested in exploring why not only their own depression and anxiety, but maybe why depression and anxiety is so prevalent. Levels are on the rise. Another book that I found really interesting, and actually it's probably one of the first, and she's been on the podcast twice now, is The Four Tendencies by Gretchen Rubin. This I found really interesting because The Four Tendencies, the four different personality types. I am an obliger, and this book explains to you what that personality type means, how it might affect the decisions that you make, and how if those decisions aren't making you happy, how you can course correct and still be an obliger, but not perhaps get yourself into situations that make you feel trapped or that you're just giving a lot to everybody else and not giving to yourself. I think it's brilliant, and Gretchen, when she came on the podcast to talk about this, was utterly brilliant. So I really highly recommend that. Again, not just for understanding yourself, but for understanding other people. It's really useful. We can look through life and look at everyone through the same lens, and actually we're all very, very different. And this is actually really helpful for understanding oneself and also others. A book that I have bought, gifted, and just read many times, and Jen has been on the podcast twice as well. You Are a Badass: How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life. This I found so helpful. It was that thing that said, yes, this is where you are, and whatever got you here, it doesn't matter. You can get yourself out of it. And it really is a very stern kick up the backside, but it's very compassionate and very helpful. And Jen herself has been there. She talks very openly in the book about where her head was and how she just had to turn it around. And she offers you the key to how she navigated her way out of crappy mental health. And she offers you those tools as well. And I think it's really helpful. And again, another really accessible book. And finally, Sarah Wilson's First We Make the Beast Beautiful. This is an incredible, incredible book. And again, Sarah came on the podcast last year, and the feedback I got from this book more than any other book was, thank you for that podcast conversation. Because of that, it really helped me understand my loved one, my friend, who was going through mental health issues, and I've been able to have conversations with them since listening to that I wasn't able to have with them before, and we're in a much better place and I understand them. And to me, that was just the kind of feedback that just made my heart sing, and I shared some of that with Sarah as well. She speaks about her own mental health, about the research into mental health, so beautifully. And if you've ever thought, I don't want somebody to tell me I'm depressed, I don't want someone to tell me that I'm anxious because I don't want to be like that, you will not feel that way after you read this, trust and believe. And also, when I make my podcast, I make it for my listeners. It's not about me, but I found that podcast incredibly impactful on me personally. And at some points, I met Sarah that morning, and then we just went in and had this 2-hour conversation on tape. And at some points, I was shaking under the table because I felt like I was just completely exposed, because I was being incredibly honest, as was she. So this book is brilliant, and Sarah on the show was amazing. Actually, there is a fifth. It is this one. This is Aaron Gillis, who has also been on the podcast. He's technically Ron on social media. How to Survive the End of the World. This is brilliant because it allows you to laugh along with your mental health diagnosis. It allows you to laugh along with the strange things that you might say or do as a result of your mental health diagnosis. I highly recommend this. The feedback I got most from this episode that I did with Erin was, thank you for allowing me to laugh. Thank you for putting someone on tape who articulated how I feel in certain situations in exactly the same way, and made me feel less weird, and made me feel like actually this is a lot more normal than I was assuming. So those are my 5 very strong recommends. Not just if you think that you are struggling, but if you know someone who is and you want to better understand what might be going on in their head. I'm also going to, in the comments or in the drop down, put links to the best resources I have found for finding those people who will be able to help you with your mental health, maybe take you from a diagnosis to then helping you and putting you on a course that will be helpful for you. But like I said at the top of this video, being diagnosed with severe anxiety and depression is the best thing, one of the best things that's ever happened to me. And I didn't tell anyone at the time because I was worried as a freelancer that nobody would work with me, that people would assume that I couldn't do my job, that there was a whole stigma attached to it. And actually, that isn't the case. And I feel much more comfortable now about saying, this is where I was, this is what I went through. And my aim with this video is to send the ladder down, send the elevator down, whatever you want to say, and just encourage anybody who is struggling. It doesn't have to be that way. It will be hard work, but it doesn't have to be that way, and it's okay. And as ever, my DMs are always open, so if you're struggling and you want to chat about anything, or you want some advice, or you have any questions, please know that my DMs are open and I will get back to you. Thank you so much for watching. I will see you on the next one.